Good to be back. It really is. Could we kneel together for prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for this good morning, Lord's Day morning. We're gathered in Jesus' name. We've invited you to come and be in our midst, and it's with confidence that we know that you're here. We know that you've said where two or three are gathered, you'll be here. We're grateful for that. And so, Lord, this morning, as we continue to open up the Word of God, we ask that you would continue to speak to us. Thank you for how you've already been through the opening, the children's lesson. You've been ministering to us. And I ask, O God, that you would help us to have that heart that's pure and clean. O God, I just desire that in a much deeper way. Father, we know that sometimes the cares of this life and the busyness and different things can sort of bring us to the place where we're not as close to you. But Lord, we want to again just draw a step closer to you this morning. I ask in Jesus' name that you'd please guide my thoughts and help me to communicate the things that you've given me to share. I ask, Lord, that I could do so with your Spirit, and ask, Lord, that these things would take root in our hearts. Oh, Lord, you've been such a good God to us. Lord, thank you for how you've been ministering to us in the past, and we know that you'll guide us into all truth. So we're here this morning with that confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. Headship order and covering, and I'll be sharing largely out of 1 Corinthians 11 this morning after it seemed like the Lord was moving me in this direction. And then last night I was talking with a brother, and he said, oh, Brother Joel shared on this subject a year and a half ago, whenever it was, and I think I wasn't here, but so if you've heard a teaching on this recently, maybe we can have an added blessing here, okay? Trust it'll be. What I'd like to do more largely is look at down through there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you want to turn there... And maybe before we go into the teaching this morning, I'd like to maybe tell you where some of my thoughts have been going outside of the subject here. I think many of us have, the last week or so, been hearing there's two different situations where there's men in the Anabaptist circles that have been missing. One with the Rodney situation, the other one was Jonas. And we're grateful that they're found and they're well. We're grateful for that. But there's something about the two situations that have been quite, I would say, very stark differences between the two. and the one I've looked at with great appreciation, and the other has made me ask some questions. And I say that from the perspective of us as a church and how we function and view and deal with situations. The one, as I've listened to updates and things and all that, and there came a place where everything was quiet, and then the report that came, it seemed like there's a lot of hidden things that people were trying to cover up. And the other one that came, the first update was of honesty that I greatly appreciated. There was an honesty, there was failures, there was mistakes, this is a situation, simply pray. And then not only did it stop with that, the actual individual wrote a letter, and I have it on my phone. There's an email, and if any of you want to see it, it's to be broadcasted. This it's Jonas. Jonas put this thing out and said, very honestly, there's a long email saying, this is where things started. There's things started back in my youth already. They were happening in our courtship, and then for years it happened, and this is specifically what happened right now. And I'm repenting, and I want to be honest and open to everyone. I've sinned, I've failed. And the honesty that came from that latter one is, I don't know, I just have great respect for that. I've been thinking about that. The other one seems to be covering up things. And I also understand there are things involved with the law on the other one, that there are certain things that can't be said, and I acknowledge that. But even put that aside, there are things that are simply the way the whole thing comes across. There is a secretive air in trying to cover up and trying to hide. And I say that to say that, brothers, I'd have a desire for myself and for all of us to just walk in honesty. And if we fail, to try to be open and honest. If there are things that happen, to be honest, to be upright, to not put things under the covers and under the carpet and hiding, but to just have this open and honesty. That's what I would long to embrace myself, first of all, and for all of us to be pursuing those things. So I don't know, my mind's just been going with some of that recently. Also had the ability, even with the email that came with Jonas's confession, there's phone numbers and emails on there. If you want to contact them, I sent him a text blessing him for his honesty and just the uprightness of the confession and his desire to head in the right direction. That type of thing, just a transparency that I greatly appreciate. Okay, those are just some sideline thoughts that I've been thinking about. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we want to look at these teachings. And it is a bit of a continuation. There's a couple other subjects here that I'd like to also look at in the coming weeks here as we have some more teachings. And I'd like for us to just specifically look here. In verse 2, it mentions this word ordinances, which last time we talked about the traditions. This is the same thing. But we're going to start reading here in verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, as I delivered them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, And the head of the woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it not comely that a woman pray unto God on? Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I think I'll stop there. I'd like to, in the beginning here, consider two, I'm going to say arguments, or two things that often come with those who feel like they don't want to wear a covering on their heads. There's two arguments that often come, and I'd like to just from the beginning, talk about those things, and then go on down through and look at the teachings. One of the arguments that quickly comes is that's a cultural thing, that the head covering is a cultural thing. It's something that the people at Corinth did, and we are in a different dispensation, and it's not for us today. I often hear that said. I would like to first of all take you to a verse in the beginning of 1 Corinthians. If you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. This is what Paul said in the beginning of this letter. He said these words: Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church. Now this is who this letter is addressed to. Unto the church which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now I'll just look at this next phrase. It says, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. That would include us today. Okay? He's specifically addressing this letter to the church at Corinth. And then he's saying, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Okay? It's addressed to everyone. There's another thing that I'd like to just throw out here, and I won't look at the scriptures now, but at the end of the message, I want to look at it. But it's of my persuasion that from the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Adam and Eve, when they sinned, And they were naked, and they went and they sewed themselves fig leaves and tried to cover themselves. And then God said, that's not good enough. And the Bible says that God brought to them, or he put them, he clothed them with coats of skins. He covered them. Now, it doesn't say anything in the book of Genesis about God also covering their heads at that point. But I'd like to suggest, it is my persuasion, that at that point God also covered their heads. And the reason I believe that is, if you look at through all of Old Testament history, the men and the women always had their heads covered. They always did. And we're going to look at some of those scriptures that talk about both men and women having their heads covered through the Old Testament era at the end of the message. But I'd like for us to consider that fact as we go down through here. It doesn't spell it out in the book of Genesis, but I'd like to ask the question, where did that come from? Where did that come from over the years? Was it just something they just started to do all of a sudden? Or was it a part of God when he clothed Adam and Eve that he covered their heads? And that was a part of the culture. And you look at the cultures today, the old cultures that are, you know, that have not been westernized, and both men and women still cover their heads today. And it's only in more recent history that culture is changing and turning, and there's no longer a covering of the head. That's recent. That's most for thousands and thousands of years already. You know, we're, around 6,000 years here. For thousands of years, men and women have covered their heads. And we look around, and ladies don't cover their heads, and men don't cover their heads. That is only recent. That is not that long. It's not been that long. So think about that. Here's another one. Here's another argument, okay? The second argument is this. That in verse 15, if you look here in verse 15, it says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. There is a segment of Christianity today that takes this verse right here and says that a woman's long hair is her covering. They will say that. And since the long hair is her covering, there's no need for another covering. They will say that. I'd like to just point out two things. First of all, that word covering is a different word than what's used in the earlier verses, in verses 5, 6, and 7. It's a different word. Secondly, I'd also like to point out that if we take that position that a woman's long hair is her covering, it's not consistent with the rest of this chapter. It's not consistent. I'd like to first point out, in verse 15 it says, but if a woman have long hair, it is her glory. It does not say that a woman's long hair is her covering. It says, for her hair is given her for a covering. And it doesn't even put the word long in that phrase. It doesn't put it in there. It says, for her hair is given her as a covering. That covering simply means thrown around. It's a good reason to put up our hair, right? Her hair, her long hair, her hair thrown around. Okay, now I like to just give this talk about consistency here. It's and how that if we take that's not consistent with the rest of this. Just before I came, I just went into the toy box and got this little baby doll for the sake of the illustration. I didn't have a good option, but I think this will need to do here. Okay. If we say that on this sister, and she has cut hair here, on this lady here, okay, on this lady, for this lady, if the hair is her covering, okay, what do the men do? Cut it off. Okay, do you follow what I'm saying? If this hair is a woman's covering, and the Bible says that a man shouldn't have long hair, or should, you know, and the hair is a covering, then men literally have to be bald, and, you know, there are some bald men around these days, okay? But do you follow? If the hair, according to, if you want to be consistent, then the hair will need to be covered. Cover the hair. Cover the head. It actually says cover the head. Cover the head, okay? Okay, so this is quite reasonable with the first part of the chapter, right? This is quite reasonable that we cover the head, cover the hair, cover it. Because if the hair is the covering, then men cannot have hair on their heads. It needs to be shaven off. Or it's a covering. Now, that's why they say the long hair. But if you look at the whole thing, it's not consistent. Okay? So I'd like to just throw those things away. Those are arguments that come. And I'd like to have us have a basis of understanding these things, when these things come, why we believe and understand scriptures the way we do. I feel that's important. We need to understand what the scripture teaches. Okay. All right. Moving on quickly. That was page 1 of number 9. So we'll have to try to move along as quickly as possible. Okay. I'd like to, first of all, quickly look at the subject of headship order. In the context here, there are three heads. God, Christ, man. And it's interesting, in this sequence in the scripture, it's very interesting where it starts. We would not, you know, I wrote this because God, Christ, man, that's the order, right? But that's not how he puts it in scripture here. Have any idea why? We'll look at it. I think the reason is because he's putting it in the order that it's most quickly out of order. Okay? Let's look at this. Verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. I would like to suggest, I'd like to make a suggestion here, that there is many, many men who are out of their headship order and they make decisions according to what they themselves think is right rather than consciously seeking God's will and making decisions based on what Christ wants them to do. I believe that is one of the biggest places where the headship order is out of order. Men are not consciously giving themselves under their head, which is Christ. I believe that's a problem. And I believe that it's a reason that it first mentions man and Christ. Let's just read it again. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. I believe that that's the first place where things go amiss. And the head of the woman is the man. You know, we're quickly to focus on that and women being out of place, and granted, there's many that are. I'd like to just say that that's true in our society. And unfortunately, in the churches, there are many women that are out of order, not in submission to the men. But I'd like to lift up this whole idea of men being in submission to Christ. Then he goes on, and the head of Christ is God. So, there are three heads. The man is the head of the woman, Christ is the head of the man, and God is the head of Christ. I'd like to just put that out. And I don't want to spend much time on this, but I think it's good for us to just be aware of this, because this right here is the foundation of the teachings on down through here. This is the reason for this. These are the foundational things that are there, and the rest flow out of it. If you simply consider what head means, head is where direction comes from. The things that I think, the things that I do, the activities that come that flow out of me, all the decisions that I make, it comes from my head, okay? And so that's why he uses that word head. There is a higher, or there is a place where direction flows from. So direction flows from, for man, direction flows from Christ, and for woman, direction flows from the man. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 16, he makes this comment. He says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, or in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is, I've simply put it here, covered or uncovered. Covered or uncovered. History would tell us that in the city of Corinth, it was a normal practice for all men and women to cover their heads. But many of the unbelieving people from Corinth, they would go into their heathen idol temples. And when they would go into the heathen idol temples, they would uncover their heads when they would go into worship. And so, with all that, people getting converted, some of these practices were being brought into the Christian church that were practiced in the local community, in the local culture, in the way they did things. Some of these things were being brought into the Christian practice and teachings. And for that reason, Paul needed to bring some direction. Paul needed to bring some correction and direction, and teach them God's way. And that's why we have the teaching we do, that we do here today. He was addressing a problem. Okay, covered or uncovered? And I know that there is some confusion on the man's part. There are many men today that cover their head for religious reasons. There are many men today that cover their head when it gets cold. And sometimes the question comes, well, what's right? Am I allowed to cover my head? Should I? Shouldn't I? You know, when is it wrong? When is it right? When is it okay? And there's some confusion in some of these areas today. Am I right with that? There's questions that come. And so we'd like to look at Scripture and have and see what is being taught here and try to bring some clarity in those areas. If we look here, I think we're going to start reading here in verse 4. It says, "For every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." Now, I like to take a look at what this word dishonoreth really means. Dishonoreth. Because it also, that same term is used for ladies. It's used for both men and women. Dishonoreth. I think I should maybe just turn to the book of Luke. This same word is used in the book of Luke, chapter 13. The same word is used. Luke chapter 13, in verse 11, here's the account of Jesus. And Jesus was he was teaching in the synagogue. And as he was teaching, there was this woman came to him, and this woman had infirmity for 18 years. This woman had infirmity. She had major problems, and it was there for a long time. And she came to Jesus, and Jesus healed her. And when Jesus healed her, it says that the people around him, the teachers, they criticized him. Because that he healed this woman on the Sabbath day. And then Jesus went on to explain, and he said, well, he said, you know, isn't it if you have an ox in the stall, don't you lead him out to give water on the Sabbath day? How much more this woman that has been in bondage for 18 years, I've just released her from her ailments, I've done good. And it says that the people were ashamed when they heard Jesus say that. I'm just going to quickly read it here. This is what it says, starting to read. And when Jesus saw her, I'm going to start reading in verse 10 of chapter 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. That word right there, ashamed. That's it. Okay, do you get it? That's the same word as what we were looking at about dishonoring her head or dishonoring his head. The same word. They were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Same word. Okay, do you get the picture? When Jesus just said, "Wow, come on, I mean, you know, you're way off in your understanding." All of a sudden, the people sat there and, "Well, I never thought of that." And they were taken aback. They were ashamed, and there was that ashamed is the same word that it means to dishonor her head or his head. Same word. Okay? Now, verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Okay? There are many today that for, quote, religious purposes, they will cover their head. Men will wear it for religious reasons. I'd like to suggest that that is what he's talking about. He's not talking about a weather garb, okay? If we're cold, we need to go outside, or if it's hot, we need to put a hat on. We need to do things to protect our body. But that's different than what he's saying here. There's Jews, and I won't mention other cultures, but there are various people who will wear certain garbs on their head for religious purposes. Okay? Follow what I mean? That is what he's saying. To wear something on our head for a religious purpose is not a right thing. Now, I'll take that a step farther and say, okay, we in the hot summertime, you see my head, I have to wear something on my head if I go outside, or I'll have fried potatoes, or I'll have those types of issues. Or if it's cold, it's a right thing to cover our heads. And I like to take it a step farther and say that I feel it's right, it's an okay thing for me if I'm outside in the cold and I'm walking or I'm working or I'm praying, it's okay for me to pray in the middle of all that, okay? That's okay. Okay, but I've seen situations where I feel it's a bit disrespectful for men to be wearing a weather garb, and they come inside and they sit down at a table and they leave their hat on, bow their heads and pray. I feel that's disrespectful. I don't know that would be just sinful, but I believe there's a place of respect there that we can give some, some carefulness and all that. But here's my point. A weather garb is different than a garb that's worn on our head for religious purposes. Okay. Verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as if she were shaven. Okay? So, I'm sorry, I need to come back to this dishonoring thing. If a man covers his head, he dishonoreth God. Or there is an ashamedness that comes on God. Or if a woman does not cover her head, there is an aspect of shame, or there's an I can't say that I understand it all, but there's a certain shame that's there, a certain dishonoring that's there. According to God's word, there's a certain dishonoring that's there. And we cover, ladies cover their heads to show that they are under the man's authority. Okay? Sometimes this gets confused. There are people who also say that I only cover my head. This is for ladies. That I only cover my head when I pray or I prophesy or I'm in a worship service. Let me ask you this question. Is the covering a sign of prayer, or is it a sign of being under authority? It's a sign of being under authority. And when are we to be under authority? When we pray and prophesy, or all the time? We are to be under authority all the time. Okay? But when praying and prophesying, there's a specific shame that happens at that point. Some people take that to mean that that's a directive when it's to be worn, and that's not the case. It's not a directive when ladies should wear it, but it's rather a specific pointing out that there's a specific shame that comes when there's praying and prophesying and it doesn't come. It's not a directive as to when it should be worn. That's not the case. And sometimes that gets confused. Okay, so I would like to just say, according to Scripture here, a woman is dishonoring her head. And who's a woman's head? The man. There's a dishonoring that comes. And who's a man's head? Christ. So if we're out of order in these areas, there is a shame that comes. There is a dishonoring or a disrespect that comes. Okay, I'd like to move on quickly and talk a little bit about the glories. There are three glories that are mentioned in Scripture here. There are three glories. In verse 7, it talks about the glory of God, how that the man is the image and glory of God. In verse 7, it also mentions that the woman is the glory of the man. And in verse 15, it says that the long hair is given for the woman's glory. So there are three glories that are mentioned here. Okay. With that, the easiest way for me to explain this glory thing, the easiest way for me to do that is sometimes when I meet someone and you know, we talk and all that, and I have this person and, you know, we were talking, dialoguing, and, you know, I get to know him. I've never met him before, and then all of a sudden his wife comes and she sits beside him, and now I understand who he really is. there's a glory that's associated with the husband. There's a glory that comes. It says that the woman is the glory of the man. There is something about a woman that just brings a glory to the man. Okay? And so, you know, if I'm somewhere and my wife walks up to me, there's something about I'm not sure how to describe it, but I think you men know what I'm talking about. The woman is the glory of the man. Okay? And there are three glories. It says the man is the image and glory of God. In verse 7 it says the man is the image and glory of God. Okay, so if the man is the image and glory of God, he doesn't cover his head because he's the expression of God. He's the image and glory of God. A woman being under the man covers her head because her glory is being covered because she's under the man. How do you follow? She doesn't want to express her glory. Her hair is her glory, and then she's also the glory of the man, but she's covering that up because she's under the man. And so there's three glories there. But she covers it up. The man is the image and glory of God, so he doesn't cover. He represents God, or he's the image and glory of God. But then the woman is the glory of the man. She covers her head as an expression that she's under him. That word glory simply means a manifestation of glory, an appearance commanding respect. There's other things that we could look at here, but I don't think I'll go there. I think I'll leave it. But it says the man is the image and glory of God, and the woman is the glory of the man. I'll just briefly mention this again. When is a woman to have her head covered? She's under authority, so she covers her head. And there's a specific dishonoring of her head if she, in praying and prophesying, if she doesn't have her head covered, there's a specific dishonoring. I'd also like to just mention that there are some of these things that it mentions the angels. It mentions the angels' power on her head because of the angels, or some of those things that I don't think I understand to the fullest. But consider with me that the angels are extremely sensitive on this whole subject of authority. You remember many years ago, up in the glories, there was Lucifer. And Lucifer was in rebellion to God Almighty. And Scripture says that he took a third of the angels, and there was a rebellion against God. And two-thirds of the angels, they were steadfast. They were under the authority of God. And here in man's creation, God has made it very clear of the authority structure and of how God wants things to be. And so the angels are there. And Scripture says that they're for our protection. Scripture also says that they're ministering angels. We don't know what all they do, but there's been testimonies of wicked men who have said that I was going to do wicked things, but that thing that was on that woman's head, I could not do it. There's testimonies like that. And I don't know how that we understand all those things in full, but I like to just suggest that the angels are very, very, very sensitive on this whole subject of authority. Because they know what happened. They know what happened. So they're here and observing all of us as well. And they want to be here for us and be there at God's command. Okay. Here's another question that I'd like to put out there. Should a covering be an ornament? The question, should a covering be an ornament? According to other scriptures that give very clear direction about not adorning ourselves, according to that, a covering ought to be covering the head, and it should not be as an ornamentation. I'd like to say that there is a tendency in our day for ladies to wear lace coverings, right? There's also a tendency to put added ornamentation onto the covering. Lace, various things to sort of adorn. I like to suggest, I think we should just sort of have those lines good and clear in our minds, what the coverings are for. They're to cover the head. They're not to make us look nice. By the way, ladies, there's something about you that looks nice, just the way you are. The more simple, the more beautiful, the more just that inner beauty just comes flowing out. And the more that other stuff gets put on, you just go, ugh. Yeah, sorry, ladies, but I'll just tell you that is how it is. There's such a sweet beauty that comes out of just a simplistic covering the head. And maybe sometime later, maybe we'll have a teaching on some modesty. I think that'd be a blessing, but we'll see how the Lord leads with all that. But right, brothers, that's what we want for our sisters, right? And brothers, if we have leanings in those directions, I know our wives, they like to please us and all that. But maybe if our taste buds aren't right, maybe we need to adjust them a bit, Right, brothers? okay? So a covering is not an ornamentation, okay? But it says covering. I know I've did this before, but I won't spend much time, but I have to sort of do it a little bit. I want to cover this head. Covered? Huh? Covered? Oh, come on, brother. Covered? I'm just trying to make a point, okay? I'm here. This is my point, brothers. And my point is, it ought to be scooting forward and not scooting back. And if it's back there exposing a lot of hair, there's something wrong. Let's be moving in the right direction and not the wrong direction, okay? I appreciate where you all are. I'm just making a point here. Let's head in the right direction with it, okay? Got it? Some people say that, well, if it just dishonors my husband, and that's really not a big thing, it's okay for me to be uncovered. I'd like for us to consider the fact that there is always consequences to disobedience to God's word. Always. There's always consequences to disobedience to God's word. And I say that to say that you look in every setting, you look in the settings where this thing has been pushed aside of biblical obedience to women covering their heads, okay? You look, and there is a continued rise of of this push for women to be out of order in the homes and in the church. I mean, you show me a woman who gets up behind the pulpit with her head covered. They don't do it. Always, when there's a disobedience to God's word, there is a ripple chain effect in the wrong direction. Always. There's always consequences. And we look at this dishonoring thing, and I don't know to what extent that goes. But I like to say there is a dishonoring, and Scripture says that, and we might as well recognize that there is a dishonoring with all that. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. I also recognize that there are some who have never closely looked at these scriptures. And they say, well, are they going to go to hell because they didn't, you know, cover their heads? I'd like to just say that that's between them and God. God knows where they are, and we'll leave that to God. We're here to follow God's teachings here today. We're not here to judge others. And some people, I've heard people tell me that is such a godly couple, such a godly man, and if they can be that godly and they don't have to do that, well, then I don't have to either. Brothers and sisters, that is wrong thinking. That is wrong teaching. Scripture is clear where we need to go. Let's follow it. As a church, let's follow it. and let God take care of the others. Okay? I think I'll just wind down quickly and look at a couple of the verses that specifically talk about having heads covered in the Old Testament. So I'd like to just pose a question, or maybe I'll put it as a statement. This whole idea of having heads covered was an Old Testament principle for thousands of years. When we come into the New Testament era, it was confirmed and changed for the men. There's a specific change that came for the men, but for the women, it's continued. So I'd like to just quickly read a number of verses. And if you want to jot them down, you can do that. Well, the first one I want to put out there is in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 18. And this is specifically in regards to a woman. And it had to do when there was judgment given. You know, this is for the Israelites. When there's judgment given, and they were trying to find out if they were guilty. It was in that context. Numbers 5:18. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head. So you can't cover the woman's head, or you can't uncover it if it is uncovered, okay? And uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is a jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. If she was guilty, she would bloat if she wasn't being truthful and honest. Okay? Here's another one. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer. Verse 7, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. This is, okay, there's another one in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 6, and this was in regarding to men. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads. He said, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. I have another one concerning men in Leviticus 21, verse 10. It says, and he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes. Here's another one in regards to a woman. In Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Verse 2. Take the millstones and grind the meal. Uncover thy locks. There it is. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness. Actually talks about being uncovered is nakedness. Uncover. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Clearly, through Old Testament history, it was a practice that they all did, men and women. Coming into the New Testament, it was confirmed and changed. It was confirmed and changed, and yet it's for us today. For us today. I believe it's a big shame if our children and our youth grow up in our midst and they do it, but they have no concept of why they do it. God help us. God help us to follow the teachings of Christ, the teachings that He's put forth in His Word, and be faithful. Lord bless you all.